You're listening to SBS News.
National security is therefore about a proper response to terrorism. It's also about having a far-sighted, strong, well-thought-out defence policy. It is also about having an uncompromising view about the fundamental right of this country to protect its borders.
The year was 2001, and following the attacks in the United States on September 11th, terrorism was a focus for many. In October of that year, then Prime Minister John Howard was weeks out from an election.
It's about this nation saying to the world, we are a generous, open-hearted people, taking more refugees on a per capita basis than any nation except Canada. We have a proud record of welcoming people from 140 different nations. But we will decide who comes to this country and the circumstances in which they come.
That sentiment would set both the tone and precedent of Australia's border protection policy for the ensuing two decades. Earlier in the year, the Liberal National Government had refused permission for a Norwegian vessel that was carrying hundreds of rescued refugees who were fleeing persecution in Afghanistan to enter Australian waters, triggering a diplomatic dispute between Australia and Norway. What happened over the coming days would define Australia's treatment of people arriving by boat for years to come. The Howard government introduced the so-called Pacific Solution, with offshore processing and detention used explicitly to deter people smugglers from offering Australia as a destination. The policy was abolished under Kevin Rudd's Labor government in 2007, but reintroduced as Operation Sovereign Borders when the coalition returned to power in 2013 under Prime Minister Tony Abbott. Operation Sovereign Borders was upheld by the successive governments of Malcolm Turnbull and Scott Morrison.
If you have a valid claim, you will not be resettled in Australia. You will never live in Australia. If you are found not to be a refugee, you will remain in this camp until you decide to go home. You should know that the government's will not change on this issue. You will remain here until you go home or you are resettled somewhere else other than Australia. If you choose not to go home, then you will spend a very, very long time here.
The policies have often been criticised as both harsh and in violation of Australia's obligations under international law, which clearly states that anyone has the right to seek asylum from persecution. Pushing boats laden with asylum seekers back into international waters apparently violates the 1951 Refugee Convention, but over the last decade, Australia has routinely done this. Professor Daniel Gesselbach is the Deputy Director of the Caldor Centre for International Refugee Law. He explains how Australia has been able to circumvent the convention.
The first is secrecy and obfuscation. We don't know exactly what is going on and where these enforcement and pushback activities are taking place. And it's very difficult to access the refugees and asylum seekers who are subject to these pushbacks. So it's very hard to build the evidence that we need to hold the government accountable for its actions. There's also a lot of creative legal interpretation, or something I refer to as hyperlegalism, where the government interprets its international obligations in a way that gives it a green light for its actions. Claims such as the fact that some of our obligations don't apply when we're acting beyond Australia's borders or at sea, which are very spurious and not supported internationally, but they provide this additional cover where the Australian government can keep asserting the fact that they're complying with our international obligations when they may not be in fact.
Professor Gesselbach says another element of the policy has even affected asylum seekers elsewhere in the world.
This really concerted public international campaign to try and build support and promote Australia's policies as a model, and this view that if we get other countries to do it too, it kind of legitimizes our approach. And sadly, this has been very successful, and we've seen the pushback policies proliferate around the world. And more recently, our model of offshore processing, with the UK Rwanda deal, and similar moves afoot in both Denmark and Austria to adopt an Australian-style offshore processing regime.
Over the last decade, there's been a growing number of asylum seekers arriving in Indonesia. Fabia Claridge from the group People Just Like Us estimates their number to be around 14,000. She's calling on the newly elected Labor government to include them in a one-off humanitarian intake.
These people are the human face of Stop the Boats. They have been either sent back or prevented from coming to Australia. Many of them have families in Australia. Half of them are from Afghanistan. We know they can't go back. Many are Hazaras from Afghanistan. Others are Rohingya, who are stateless. They have nowhere to go. Indonesia is not a signatory to the UN Convention.
She adds that following a two-year pandemic-triggered halt on immigration, an increased refugee intake could be largely beneficial to the workforce and the overall economy of Australia.
The economists are saying they want the migrant intake to be 190,000 a year, and that is Australia's immigration intake is quite high, around 200,000, upwards and downwards of 200,000. To take in 14,000 people is nothing. It's a drop in the ocean. And it can be done quite easily without hardly anyone noticing.
Professor Gezelbash points to other opportunities that an increased refugee intake from Indonesia could offer the new government.
The Albanese Labor government really has an opportunity to reset our relationship, not only with Indonesia, but with the Asia-Pacific region. And we've already seen some very positive steps in that regard. And this will provide us with an opportunity to more meaningfully engage with our neighbours to increase capacity and for refugee protection and the rights that refugees are protected in our region. And in many ways, we've been viewed as a bit of a pariah in our region when it comes to these issues. We've been going it alone and it's kind of deflecting responsibility for protecting refugees to other countries in our region.
Sophie McNeil from Human Rights Watch says there's already been encouraging signs from the Albanese government, such as the granting of bridging visas to the Nades Selingem family.
There are some really pleasing signs, and I think Australians sent a strong message during the election that they no longer want cruel and inhumane policies. You know, we saw the Morrison government try and get play on these issues, even up to their last day in office. And, you know, Australians didn't fall for it. So I think the Australian people have sent a strong message that they're no longer interested in politicising these issues or in having such cruel policies carried out in their name. So we are really hopeful that under the new immigration minister, Andrew Giles, there will be a more humane approach, and we look forward to working with him to try and achieve that as soon as possible.
Both the Immigration Minister, Andrew Giles, and the Minister for Home Affairs, Claire O'Neill, were unavailable to speak to SBS at this time. Tina Quinn, SBS News.